Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the very last prayer in the Bible. It's in the last book of the Bible. It's on the last page of the Bible. It's in the last paragraph of the Bible. And it's the second to last verse of the Bible. And we're studying it on the last Sunday of 2025. Come, Lord Jesus. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I think it's a good one for us all to learn to pray and to pray often. It only has three words in that prayer, and I want to focus on each one in turn. Number one, come. You may have already gathered that this fits with our theme for Advent this year. We've been focusing on this banger of a Christmas carol written by Pastor Charles Wesley 250 years ago. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. It was on everybody's Spotify Wrapped in 1775. We just sang it together. I love that little part where we go, dear desire of every nation, right? Joy of every longing heart. See, that song is also a prayer to Jesus, for Jesus to come. The thou there is you. Come, you long expected Jesus. It's a prayer to Jesus, for Jesus to come. Now that means, of course, that Jesus has not yet come. Not again. He came once. That's what we celebrated on Thursday, the first coming of our Lord Jesus. He was born. Born his people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. But we Christians believe that after his birth, after his life and death and resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Son of Man ascended to the Ancient of Days. The Son of God went home to be with his Father. So he's not here right now. Not like he was. But he promised to come again. On the night before he went to the cross, Jesus comforted his disciples by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And that's not the only place that he promised to return. He promised it many times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he promised it right here in this last chapter of the Bible, in the revelation that God gave to his servant John, who was exiled on the island of Patmos. Jesus spoke to John through an angel, and John quotes him in this chapter, chapter 22, verse 7, if you look up your page, verse 7, and verse 12, and right here in verse 20 itself, he says, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon." That's Jesus. He promises to return. So here's the big question that comes up again and again on everybody's mind. When? When is Jesus going to return? Soon, he says. He says in verse 20. And that's all he says. He says, soon. And he might mean something different from that than I thought. And when I first read the word soon, because it's been 2,000 years. That word soon could be translated quickly. So that when it happens, it'll all happen all of a sudden. Everything will unfold in rapidly, in short order. When is Jesus going to return? Church, when is Jesus going to return? I don't know. And that's okay. We've learned to say that, haven't we? This year, we've been focusing a lot on the return of Jesus Christ as a church family. We've studied the book of Daniel. and the letters to the church of the Thessalonians. Both of those talk a lot about the coming of King Jesus. It's been a key subject for our church family all year long. And along the way, we've learned that the Bible emphasizes that it's going to happen, not when it's going to happen. And it's, we say, and that's okay, because we have to tell our hearts that, right? But it's actually better than okay. It's better that we do not know when. That's how he wants it. He doesn't want us to know when. He wants us to be ready and stay ready all the time. Even if it's a long time, a long expected Jesus. He wants us to wait. And while we wait, we're active, right? We're active in love and in faith and in hope. And while we wait, we pray. And here's one thing we pray. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Now remember, that's a prayer. That's not a command. We don't tell Jesus what to do, right? It's not like this. Hey, you, over here. Get over here, Jesus. It's not like you're calling your dog from being out in the cold, right? Spot, Fido, get over here. Get here. That is not what this is. This is a request. This is a heartfelt longing. This is a prayer that in the Lord's perfect timing, he would keep his perfect promise to come. Please, Lord, come. This prayer here is in Greek, but the Bible also has a similar prayer in 1 Corinthians 16:22 in the language of Aramaic. That prayer is Maranatha, which means in English, come, Lord. Maybe you've seen that word before, maybe on a church sign or something, Maranatha, right? Have you ever seen that? Maranatha, that's Aramaic for Maranatha, come, O Lord. The Bible says that the church is to pray that prayer while we wait. In verse 17, John the Revelator says that it's the prayer of the Holy Spirit and the bride, which I think is the bride of Christ. Look at verse 17. That's the church. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now it's possible in verse 17 that that is the Spirit and the bride inviting other people to come to trust in Jesus. That's the point of the second half of that verse. It's an invitation where it says, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. We just sang about that in the song that Cody led us in. Let living water satisfy the thirsty without price. Salvation is free. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is satisfying of our deepest thirst. Jesus is the joy of every longing heart. And we're all invited to drink of him. Come to him. That's true. But I hear in the first part of verse 17, longing. I hear the Spirit praying through the church, the holy bride of Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill his promise to come. And I also hear an invitation for any and all of us who have come to Jesus to ask him to come for us. Verse 17 again, let him who hears, any believer, say, come, come. Do you pray that prayer? I think some people find it weird to pray for something that has already been promised and already been planned, right? If Jesus said he was going to come and he's trustworthy, then why do we need to pray that Jesus would come? It's not like that we make him come by praying this way. But that's exactly what prayer in the Bible is like. We are told to pray the promises back to God. If he said he was going to do something, that gives us license to ask for it. We are authorized to pray for the return of Christ because he promised to return and because we trust him. Verse 20 again, he who testifies to these things, and I think that's everything in the book of Revelation up to this point says, yes, I am coming soon. And John says, and we say with him in response, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Second word in this prayer. Don't miss it. Lord. When we pray for Jesus to return, we are praying for the King to come. We are recognizing his rightful lordship, and we are praying that he would exercise his rightful lordship. We are praying for the King to come and for his kingdom to come. Come, Lord. Come, be Lord. It's a lot like what Jesus taught us to pray in the what we call the disciples' prayer, which we also sang in that song this morning. Jesus told us to pray to God as our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now John says that to Jesus as Lord. Come, Lord, bring your kingdom. Which is, of course, the same kingdom, right? The Father has given the kingdom to his Son. The Ancient of Days confers the kingdom of kingdoms to the Son of Man. We memorized Daniel 7:14 all winter, and then we came back to it this December. We quoted it this morning as we were singing. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's the King. And that's the kingdom that we are praying to come when we pray, come, Lord. Come, Lord, bring that kingdom. Does the book of Revelation scare you? It's got a lot of scary things in it, just like the book of Daniel did. We live in a scary world full of terrifying things. And God himself has made real threats. You see the warnings there in verse 18 and verse 19? I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Yikes. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Double yikes. Those are some serious threats to handle this book with care. Or else. This message is perfect. Do not alter it. Do not customize it. Don't change its message to suit your own desires. Do not add false teaching. Don't add false religion. Do not ignore God's word. Or you will gain everything bad and lose everything good that could have been yours. That is scary. And we should take it seriously, because the King is the one threatening to do it. Verse 20 again, he who testifies to these things, things like verse 18 and verse 19, says, yes, I am coming soon. I'm going to bring the judgments and the blessings. And John hears that, and he prays, and we pray with him, amen. Come, Lord. Does the book of Revelation scare you? It sure didn't scare John. John says, bring it. Bring it. So many Christians get scared by the end times. And the end times are scary in the short run, yeah, but ultimately, not for the people of God. We should be wanting the end times to come, because that means the King is coming and he's going to bring his kingdom. Have you ever prayed, come, Lord Jesus? When I pray it, it normally sounds like this, come, Lord Jesus. I've prayed it many, many times And I think I pray it the most when I am most aware of how broken this world is. This world is broken. This world is not the way it's supposed to be. What were all the prayer requests this morning? Cancer? In the hospital? Viruses? Suffering? Pain? Injustice? War? Racism? Greed? Oppression? Death? For some of you, Christmas is the worst time of year because you think about all the people you've lost. And you know, everybody's going to die. Eventually, Christmas becomes a time of loss for everybody. This world is incredibly broken. And it's not going to get better through our efforts. Not that we shouldn't work at improving things in our little domain. We should. We need to live out the values of the kingdom to come in small ways while we wait. But we can't fix the world. This world is cursed. And to undo that curse, we need the return of the King. That's what we're praying for when we pray, "Come, Lord, come fix things. Come make everything right. Come flip everything right side up again." Like we saw at the end of the book of Esther, right? That was a foretaste of the world to come. Because remember, we're living in a comedy, not a tragedy. We're living in a comedy in the classic literary sense. There is a happy ending on the way. Come, Lord Jesus, and reverse the curse. We just sang, "Joy to the World," verse 3. No more let sins and sorrows grow. Just turn on the news. Just scroll. We call it doom scrolling for a reason, right? Just scroll. Sins and sorrows grow. No more. Or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The curse is everywhere. It's infected everything. And his blessings are going to come and flow out to wherever the curse is, the farthest reach of the curse, and make his blessings flow there. That's what we're praying for when we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." Remember, every bad thing must come to an end. That's how it's going to be. And yes, that means all rebellion must end. All injustice must end. All rebels must be stopped and punished. That's what hell is. Hell is perfect justice. And that's also what we're praying for when we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, bring perfect justice." That's the glories of his righteousness that he will make the nations prove. He's going to bring judgment and he's going to fix everything. And I say with John, amen. Bring it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Last word is Jesus. We don't pray that just that the kingdom will come. We pray for this particular king to come. Jesus. This person. Jesus. This same person who was born of the Virgin Mary. We talked about last week. This same child that the choir just urged us all to celebrate. The one who is Emmanuel, God with us. That same one who died for us on the cross. That's why in our statement of faith, which we also said this morning, we say we believe in the personal, bodily, and glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just believe that the kingdom will come on its own. We believe that Jesus himself, the nail-scarred man himself, will come in his resurrected body and bring his salvation for all who are waiting for him, for all who have come to him, for the thirsty, for all who have been saved by him. Remember what his name means, right? What does Jesus mean? The Lord saves. The angel told his parents, you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And he saves his people not because of anything we have done, but because and through his amazing grace. That's why the Bible ends with this benediction. Verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people, the bride. Amen. His grace alone can save us, and his grace alone can preserve us while we wait for his return for us. Because you know that heaven won't be heaven unless Jesus is there. Some people have the idea that the point of heaven is being with our loved ones who have died before us. And wonderfully, that is true for God's people whose loved ones knew the grace of God. But if that's all that we have in the world to come, just our loved ones who have gone ahead of us, that's actually hell. Because heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. And the new heavens and the new earth will be heavenly because the Lord Jesus will be there and will make all things new. Jesus. Jesus. That's whom we are praying to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Bring it. Bring your kingdom. Bring yourself. It's the last prayer in the Bible, and it's the lasting prayer of our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.